I want to thank you for your prayers this week. It's been a rough week for me and Brenda both. Of course, she's had this cold or whatever it is. I don't want it again. When I get rid of it, I'm going to bury it somewhere. But I wanted to be here with you this morning because I don't like missing church. No place like being in God's house. I love preaching His Word, and I love this church, and I love you people. So I want you to bear with me this morning. And Brenda said, "Keep it short." That might help me some, you know, if I do that. But thank you for your prayers this week. Thank you for your cards. It was my birthday. I forget when. Brenda reminded me I had a birthday, so thank you for your cards and your thoughts and your prayers and your kind words. I really appreciate it. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking into 2 Peter chapter 3, 14 through 18, and I have some other verses that goes along that reinforces what I'm going to be talking about today. And it's talking about the Christian life or the Christian hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And as far as the introduction, here we see that there's a purpose for this letter. And it talks about the new heaven and the new earth. And it talks about, Peter talks about that the Lord is coming back one of these days, and that you and I and everyone in this world, the believers and those who are lost, and we hope to get saved, will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that will and it is going to happen one of these days. And that's just what Peter is talking about. And he's wanting to emphasize, along with he reinforces what Paul says in his letters in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 14, about when Christ comes, the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who are alive and are here and alive will be called up first to be with the Lord. But there's things that we must do. There's our salvation that we need to be looking at. And this particular book talks about being diligent in your faith. Be diligent in your hope. Be diligent in your salvation. Be diligent in understanding and studying the Word of God. And be diligent in your growing in your faith, or growing spiritually in the Lord. So there's three ways that we can be encouraged to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 18. I love that verse, and I learned that verse many, many years ago, because I wanted, as a young person, I wanted to grow. Not physically, because I knew I'd do that anyway, but if I didn't feed myself upon the Word of God, I would not grow spiritually. So when it says grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that means to grow in spiritual knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what it's talking about. So we need to do that. If we don't do that, then we don't really understand, we won't know what to expect when Jesus comes back again. And we won't understand how we are to live out our life on a daily basis. And it is a daily basis that we are diligent in our growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, let's look at, well, I skipped, be diligent in your salvation. Our salvation began when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And many of you can go back and remember that day. I can vividly go back and remember that day that I accepted Christ as my Savior. So from that point on, as I read the scriptures and as I understood what Peter is saying, be diligent in everything that you do. Be persistent and don't look back and say, well, look at all my faults and all of these things in my lives that I have not done. Press on to the mark of the high calling of God in your life, as Paul says in his letters. So in verse 14 and 15, again, it reminds us that the patience of God is patient. And Peter says that he is patient. He is being patient. And so many people around the world say, well, why hasn't he come back? He promised that. And many through the church age, in the early church age, in the Bible, Old Testament, thought Jesus would be coming back soon, even the disciples. But God is patient because he wants every lost person to be saved and be a part of the kingdom of God, that all possible. And then if we do our work, the Holy Spirit does its work in leading them to Jesus Christ. So here in verse 14, it commands us to be diligent to live with him in perfect peace. Now, the only way that we can have perfect peace in our life is only through Jesus Christ. We're not going to have it here on this earth. We do not experience it in that way, but we can have the joy and the peace through him. So in verse 14, sorry about that this morning. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent. There's that word, be diligent. There's a whole commentary of B-Books by Warren Wiersbe, and I think I've read every one of them, and it says be diligent, be loving, be caring, and be courageous and things like this. But here in 2 Peter, it talks about being diligent, to be found by in his peace and spotless and blameless. And that means until he comes and when he comes, that we are to do these things. So to show Peter's expectation of the Lord's coming, this verse begins with, therefore. It's like saying, okay, so then. And these things refers to the coming of the day of the Lord and a new heaven and new earth. And it's exciting to me, and it's encouraging to me that all of the disciples and all of those who wrote the Word of God tells us to be diligent in this area, looking forward to the day of the Lord. Even in the Old Testament, it says, look forward, or beware of the day of the Lord. In many of the Old Testament, it's talking about the judgment that will come when the Lord's come for those who are not saved and those who do not practice God's word. So, and then we see the word peace. The word peace means more than just quietness. You know, we like to have our quiet time, don't we? We just have times we want to just relax and kick back and so forth. And this peace means more than just the quietness. Peter's concern for his readers is that we be peace with the Lord, with others, and with ourselves. And not all people in this world are at peace with the Lord or with others or even with themselves. And we need to have peace with ourselves. First of all, with the Lord. And then I inserted with others, but if we're not peace with ourselves, we're not going to be at peace with others, are we? So, but all three of these are very important for the Christian life. And we only will experience that peace through Jesus Christ. And when we experience that peace, then we will have peace with others. That's why this world is in such a turmoil, because there's not Everybody's not at peace with the Lord. That means everybody doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They don't know Him as a Savior or Lord. So they don't have that peace or the perfect peace that Peter's talking about right here. So we need to have that in our lives as Christians. So we are to maintain this peaceful relationship with Christ right up to the end, whether that be in death or if that be where we are caught up with Him, called the rapture. And that's 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Now also in this verse it says that we are to be blameless. Now what does that mean? And for many that can be a startling word, a frightening word, blameless. How can we be blameless when we are sinful? Well, to be blameless means that we must be forgiven. That's important. Blameless means that we are forgiven. Remember that. So, you know, we might be blamed for a lot of things in this world. We're blamed for our sins, and we're called out on that through the Word of God. But blameless means to be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ and to be sanctified by Him. And there is only one in all of the universe who is capable of making us blameless. And He is the one who is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's 1 John 1:9. So remember that. Blameless means that we are forgiven. Now, in verse 15, Peter here returns to the theme of chapter 3, the whole chapter of 3, which is the purpose of this letter, of allowing us or telling us what is coming in the future. Peter, of all persons, wanted to know from Jesus Christ, because he was always saying, Lord, I'll do anything for you. I'll die for you. And the Lord said, you will, Peter. You will die for me. And Peter didn't consider it of honor to be crucified like Jesus was crucified. So he requested that he would be crucified or upside down, and he was. If you go back and read in the history of the letters and everything, that's how Peter was crucified by the Romans back in that day in the church age. And Peter was all in, like Paul, in serving the Lord. So in verse 15, it says, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. So that means he's patient, so many will be saved. That's what that means. Just as also our beloved brother Paul. And there he inserts Paul, because he's saying, hey, me and Paul, we agree on the things that God has inspired us to write and tell you and warn and to instruct you about. So according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. So he's emphasizing and he's encouraging the readers to understand that he and Paul, along with Paul, encouraging them to be steadfast and to be ready and waiting in perfect peace when the Lord comes. Now, when we see the patience that I just read here in verse 15, patience is hard to come by sometimes, isn't it? Does everybody have patience, perfect patience? I mean, we're to have perfect peace, but do we have perfect patience? And sometimes our patience run short, don't they? Or they run out. But here, patience is also called, in the Greek, when you translate it, it means kindness. Kindness. So if we have patience, we're going to be kind to others. And to the Lord. So kindness, patience go together. And that leads to repentance. So all of these words are connected that leads us to the diligence of growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God's patience is holding back the day of judgment as we work for His glory and as we work for His honor. Okay, let's move on to the second part of this message, being diligent to understand God's Word. And the more we read, the more we study, the more we will understand God's Word. So here in verse 16, Peter commends Paul's writings to us as God's holy word. So, verse 16 says, as also in all of his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. He's talking about those people back then and even in our day to time that try to distort or deceive our false teaching about the coming of the Lord, or the resurrection, and anything that the Lord proclaims that will happen. And in the KJV version, when you look at the word torture or distort, the King James Version uses the word rest, W-R-E-S-T. And it means the same thing as in the other translation as the torture or to distort. So we must align ourselves with the Bible, never the Bible with ourselves. It doesn't work that way, does it? We align ourselves with the Bible, not the Bible with ourselves. So unless we study the Bible prayerfully, humbly, we may get a wrong message and be drawn away from the faithfulness to Christ. That's what happens. That's what false teaching. And you might read material or literature from other religions and so forth, and you have to be real careful about the wording and so forth. It might sound so real, and it might sound like it's truth, but sometimes it twists it and gives you the wrong conception of what is really going on. Years ago, a young couple came to me, and they was members at Brushy Fork Baptist Church, and they had joined this group in Bible study and so forth, and because they were asked and invited to join them, and they showed me the material they were studying, and when I looked at it and read through it, I said, this is not good. This is not good. So I don't know where it came from or what group this group claims to be, but you need to understand the Word of God needs to be your main text. This is man-written material, so it doesn't align with the Scripture. So be sure you pray and ask God to lead you and teach you the truth through the Word of God and not man-made material that's written that does not line up with the Word of God. And they finally came to their reasoning and understood, and they quit the group because it wasn't led in a godly way that would help them grow spiritually. So I'm glad they did, and they kept coming and faithfully and growing in because they were new Christians. I might add that they were new Christians, so they was trying to learn all they could and so forth, but they was being misled by this group. So unless we do, study prayerfully and humble ourselves and be faithful to the Lord, we can be misled sometimes. Now, So God's word is our foundation. It is our foundation. And in warmth and love for the beloved, Peter was expressing, "Dear friends," occurs here for the fourth time in this chapter, verses 1, 8, and 14. And the Apostle Peter closes this public yet personal epistle with the word of warning here in verse 17. The same warning that I gave this couple I was just talking about, which says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on guard." Be ready. Be on guard. "So that you are not carried away by error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness." And that's what concerned me when I was talking to this young couple, this very verse and so forth. And I showed them in the scriptures verses like this, that think people are cults or groups can lead you away from the true word of God. And we are to read and study and show ourselves approved according to 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, forewarned is forearmed. And what I'm meaning here is knowing, or you already know. In many cases in the word of God, the writers will say, you know what's right. You know what you've been taught. So follow the guidelines, follow the truth, the word of God. And it translates from the Greek, which comes from the English word prognosis. Many of you have heard that word prognosis, haven't you? Because if you go to the doctor and you have a illness or ailment or something like that, they run tests, they run samples, and they come up with this prognosis. And the doctor said, well, if you keep eating the way you are, then it's going to deteriorate your health and so forth. Or if you don't get exercise, you know, your body's going to deteriorate. If you don't take care of your body. So if we don't take care of our spiritual life, then we're going to be in trouble and we're going to be misled astray. So... We need to understand that God can change the things in our lives when we turn them over to Him and rely upon Him and be diligent in growing in our grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now next, believers are urged to beware. And beware means on guard or protect. Many places in the Bible, it tells us to beware, on guard, or protect yourselves, that they do not get led astray, or you or me get led astray or dragged off by these false teachers. They fall from their own steadfastness. So carefully heeding the prognosis can maintain our secure place in the truth. If that's the prognosis, the word of God gives us prognosis of what will happen spiritually in our lives if we get misled and stray away from the truth, the word of God. All right, finally, be diligent to grow spiritually. And this is very important in the Christian life, to grow spiritually. We grow physically, we grow in our mental state, our emotional state, and so forth. But it's very important that we grow in our spiritual life. And here in Peter, in verse 18, and this is the verse I've read, I love this verse, and I learned it many, many years ago. And Peter ends the letter in this verse as he began it by urging his readers to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this, what he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. See, he gets all the glory from our life. He deserves all the glory from our life. He invested into our life when he sent his son, which is a huge investment in our life as far as salvation, because it cost Jesus Christ his life. So the Father is saying, the Heavenly Father, know who Jesus is. Know he extended grace to you. Know, take all the knowledge you can, learn about it through the Word of God, turn it into wisdom, so that you will be able to make wise decisions concerning your spiritual growth. So, and then at the end it says, to him be the glory both now and the day of eternity when the Lord comes back. And Peter says, amen. Amen to that. And I say amen to that. So Peter closes by saying, keep on growing in grace. Grace. Grace has been extended to us. Let us extend grace to others as well. Because that's what the Lord encourages us to do. So Peter provides sound advice to grow in the grace and knowledge if we would maintain steadfastness and avoid error of an ungodly world. This world is not godly. There are many people in this world who are godly people, but the world as a whole is not godly. And that's what Peter is warning us here. So it says that believers are to grow and be continually growing. And then also, believers are to grow in the grace that comes in the God unmerited favor and in the exercise of the spiritual graces. And that's what which Peter spoke of. Actually, if you go back to chapter 1 and read verses 5 through 7, he talks about these graces that God extends to each one of us. So we also are to grow in knowledge. So grace and knowledge, both of those go hand in hand. When we're wanting to know about God's grace, God's saving grace, and God's knowledge, the knowledge of God, his existence, his ministry, his life, his commitment, his obedience to the Heavenly Father. Everything is given to us that we may know and be knowledgeable and turn that into wisdom in our own life. So this isn't just any knowledge. It's the knowledge about our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us about that, and also in chapter 2, verse 20. So now, in conclusion, Peter restates that the scriptures are for believers understanding the faith that Christ has given to us. That's what Peter is telling us. The scripture tells us that for believers understanding the faith that Jesus has given to us. And without the directions and the guidance of God's word, Christians are left with nothing to build their hope upon. And we get all of that from the Word of God. It is so precious when we read and we study it and we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christians who have been redeemed, and you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only reasonable response is that a life lived of his glory which results in unending praise to our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. That's what it will end up being in your life when we fulfill the calling in God's life. So, Jesus Christ, you know, He is our Christian hope. He is it, isn't He? He is our Christian hope. I hope this message this morning gives us a better understanding, as I concluded with verse 18, that we are to grow. Most of us here, as adults, we've stopped growing physically in height, right? We may continue to grow outwardly or some other way, but we have stopped in our stature of getting taller. But there's no limits of what we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That can go on and on and on. And Peter says, do that until the day of eternity. That's when we'll be called up to be with Him. And then we'll know all things then. We only know a little bit now. But the little bit that we know, we are to keep adding to that daily, so we will have that full knowledge of His grace and mercy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your word. We thank You for the message, the inspired word. And Peter gave it to us very clearly, very plainly, how we are to be on guard and be diligent within our life and be steadfast in the Word of God and our salvation and all the areas of our life that needs to be concentrated to You. Lord, as we close this service this morning, I pray that each one of us seated here or in this sanctuary this morning, we'll do an evaluation and know that the prognosis is given to us in Your word, how that we can be healed spiritually, how that we can grow spiritually, how that we can mature into something more than we can even imagine, because we are in the Word of God and we are searching for Your truth. And if we don't do that, then we go backwards in our spiritual growth. So Lord, help us to be motivated. Help us to have that zeal and that love for You that keeps us ongoing, continuing in the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that He extended to each one of us. We praise and we thank You in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand as we